Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
As we say in the Hebrew tongue, Shema Yasha Allah Ahaya, Allah Haya Nawa Ahaya Akkad. So that we make sense, we let you know that that is the credo from Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power is one. We are not separated. Greetings to the Mishpachah, which is the family. This is a day that the Most High has made. So I say Shabbat Shalom to you. Shabbat Shalom. It is my prayer that you are increased, that you are resting, and that you are resurged, and that you are understanding the importance, the brevity of the hour, this day, and the closeness of the time. So in the meanwhile, let's just enjoy this time, which is the Sabbath that he has declared and decreed. The seventh day of rest, for the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Sisters, cover your heads. Brothers, uncover your heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Most High in Christ, bless the four corners of the earth that contain Israel while they're in their captivity. And may they be blessed in this hour, because it's a time of resurgence. Give us what we need that we might be refreshed. It's been a long 6 days for myself, and I know it's been for others as we're in this captivity. But we know that whosoever dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge. We thank you that we have refuge in you. So today we count it all joy. Anything and everything we've been through, we know you decreed it before time under the sun. For in our weakness, your strength is made perfect, and no good thing will you withhold from us. You promised us. So like you said in your word, in all things give thanks. For all things give thanks, and to count it all joy. We rejoice today, and no matter what state we're in, we declare victory. We declare healing, we declare peace, and we stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been made free. Most High, Ahaya, Most High God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. So be it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to Blueprint for Life. I am the brother and elder V, and Blueprint for Life is a time to come together and just study the ordinances, the commandments, and the laws whereby with we have our freedom in this captivity, our deliverance, and it teaches us how to walk and please the Most High. For we understand that the law converts our soul and brings us into perfection. The law should be our focus, and that's where we set our affections. We shouldn't be worried about everything else. And if you've had a hard time doing that all week, let this day, the seventh day, be a day that you focus on the law, focus on the commandments. 1 John 2, 3 and 4, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if we say we love him, we don't keep the commandments, and that's all of them, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. All praises to the Most High, but we understand 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that sin is transgression of the law. I like Ezekiel 16 and 28 when the Most High was speaking to Moses and asked him the question, how long shall you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? The precept on that also is Deuteronomy 30, 9 and 10. So brothers and sisters, the importance of the law trumps everything else in your life. We see everything else that people are going through, but a lot of times it's because of the stiff-necked and hard-heartedness of their heart that they're in the predicaments that they're in. Are people being shot down in the streets? Are people being so-called in the wrong place at the wrong time? Shouldn't have been out on the weekend anyway, because that's the time to shut it down. Come evening Friday, all the way down to evening Saturday, which is the Shabbat. So I stress this importance because, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that deliverance comes through your obedience to the Most High. Christ, every time he healed somebody from a sickness, he told them, now go and sin no more. That meant go and don't break the laws no more. Now, I'm going to heal you this time. I'm going to set you free. But don't keep breaking the laws and think that I'm going to continue to keep healing you and setting you free. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. That's what Apostle Shaul said. So I want to thank the Father that he's so gracious. But he's only gracious to those that have a broken and contrite heart. So all praises to the Most High. We got some word we're going to get into, so I don't want to continue the dialogue. I'm here with Sister Tamar, and also I believe Brother Ray is here. Shalom, Brother Ray. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom, Israel. Shabbat shalom. Wow, so juice. I was listening to you talk. Keep dialoguing.
Well, my juice is just about the Most High and his goodness. You know, I'm just rejoicing. I don't think I was telling my wife the other day, I don't think we sit still sometimes and see the subtle miracles that happen all around us. There's a scripture that talks about how when we're in sin, we restrain the Most High from being able to move on our behalf because of our unbelief and our subtle sins. He's like, I can't do nothing because I can't break my own law and help you and bless you. You have to be in obedience before I can step in.
That's right. It's true. That's right. Hey, I was looking forward to this Sabbath day just to get away from the world, to get to focus on our Father's His Word and get re-energized so I can deal with these Edomites and all this rest of this world when it starts ramping itself back up again. But to get to the Sabbath day, it's such a blessing. Most of our Hebrew Israelites by birth have already forsaken this and don't realize what a blessing it is just to refrain from doing everything and actually just focus on a word and get closer. Then we got some Hebrew Israelites that is by the birth, but also are now trying to walk in the Spirit, and they teach all sorts of different doctrines on the Sabbath day and don't come back to just focus on our Father's law. They do a little bit of prophecy, do a little bit about this, trying to yell at all sorts of heathens on a Sabbath day, but we are supposed to be teaching each other, healing each other. And this is one of the commandments we see in Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the fellowship which the Father's ordained for us. So it's so good to hear your voice. I know you got your wife in the background, and for us to spend these hours together and give glory to the Most High is a blessing to me. So, you know, Shabbat Shalom, my brother.
Shabbat Shalom. All praises to the Most High. You know, you couldn't have said it better. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some do. The Spirit also talks about how people like to separate themselves. And the ones that tend to separate themselves are the ones that are struggling with pet sins and don't really want to come out and seek deliverance. This power, these commandments, they're transformative. And the Most High has come to transform us. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way we can renew our minds is to change the way we think by true repentance. And to truly repent is to turn around 180 degrees, not do a full circle, but change the way you used to walk. And we do that by conforming to the laws, changing the way you eat, put away that crab, shrimp, all that stuff, changing the way you dress, the way you look at this world, where you go. So that's why on the seventh day, the Shabbat, we don't talk about current events, ISIS terrorist attacks, and all this stuff going on in our communities and brothers getting shot down. We talk about what will prevent you from falling into those traps, and that's the commandments. So we're going to get into it without any further ado. I'm reading, let's see, just a brief summation of what we're going to go into today. We're going to do a reading of Psalms, the 78th chapter. And also towards the end, we want to give you another exhortation about dealing with your past hurts, dealing with demonic spirits, and overcoming and just knowing true victory and being happy about serving the Most High. His commandments are not grievous towards us. Okay, without any further ado, I'm going to ask us tomorrow to start the reading. We're going to go into Psalm 78 chapter. You got your Bibles. Turn with us to Psalm 78.
Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
Hold on. Here we have Asaph letting people know off the top to give ear to the law. Go ahead.
Verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
Dark sayings of old is in reference to the fact that a lot of the things that were spoken of in old times and by Christ were in parables and in riddles because it wasn't for the Gentiles and for every man to understand. This understanding comes through the Spirit. It has to happen through the Spirit, and only the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, can reveal the words of Christ and the Most High to you and help you to understand the law so that you might overcome. So understand that there was always a lot of dark sayings that people didn't understand because they weren't in the right spirit. Most High is not going to release his understanding to you until you're humble, broken, willing, and just of a good mind, a good conscience, good cheer, good heart, and have let go of your past. I'm going to let you continue reading. Go ahead.
Verse 3, which we have heard and known, and other fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
Hold on right there. And that's the importance of today, that throughout the generations we were to let this law be known, and that this law would be forever. And it was given to Israel and only to Israel to preach to other persons for our deliverance so that we could be free out of our captive. Brother Ray, you got something you want to add there?
Yeah, the importance of the family. And it's established from the beginning in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Adam and Eve, Eve being a rib, and the sons that sprung forth out of him. The family is so important. Even when you see when he gave the commandments on Mount Sinai, it went from, you know, when we keep that Sabbath day, to make sure you're teaching your children that, make sure your livestock, your cattle, they refrain from working, make sure the land itself rested. Everything was built on that unit coming closer to the Most High. And we neglect that nowadays because we live in this, you know, come get it quick world where everybody is doing this. You don't spend no time with the family, don't read the word to your children. And some of the things that we should be telling them, how great the works was of the fathers. Hey, when we got out of captivity in Egypt, it wasn't because we had a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X. It wasn't because Moses. It was because of the Father. And to understand that's how we got out of the captivity of Egypt and how we telling everybody we're in captivity right now in America, again, it's not going to be because of some man's going to get us out of it. The Father's going to make sure that Israel, his people, from where he scattered us from the four winds, get out of captivity again. So that's the testimony, and that's the walls that we need to be reinstilling back into Israel, that his walls are going to be set over all this world, and we need to start practicing them now, get them in our mind and our spirit now, so we can walk in righteousness and learn how to be in his presence, because if we don't keep them, if we don't know what he's done for us, we won't be in his presence. And that's a fate worse than death.
That's important. I hear you, brother, that we got to contend for the truth, contend for the faith. And at the end of the day, it's about keeping these commandments and not making excuses for not keeping the commandments. And I will say it takes time to become comfortable with walking in these statutes. But that's why every Shabbat we come together and exhort each other and help each other to try and learn these commandments and to walk in them. The whole idea is to try to achieve these on a daily basis. When you stop trying, like we were talking about earlier, he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, it is sin. So if you know certain things in the commandments that you're supposed to do, but you continually every Saturday say, well, I'm just going to make an exception, then you're constantly breaking these commandments, and you're not in the right way. His commandments are not grievous towards us. So, yeah, it's important that we teach it, keep it in our house, keep it in our family. As a matter of fact, the law taught that we should write the commandments down, put them on the wall, put them on your doorpost, put them on a refrigerator, put them on a Post-it. They used to keep it on their arms. They used to make their children write it down like homework in the Old Testament. Why? Because this law came from the Most High, and when it gets in your spirit, you're getting the Most High in your spirit. And the only way you can overcome is by having the law and the word in you, because the Ruach HaKadosh, which is the Holy Spirit, says that I will bring all things to remembrance. So if you're not putting nothing in you, you're not giving the Holy Spirit nothing to remind you of. If all you watching is, Empire, Real Housewives, and so when you start going through it, you thinking about what you saw on TV. I ought to leave her. I don't need to be with her. I'm gonna be a baller. I'm gonna be a rolling. You know, you got TV all inside your spirit. But when you start putting this law inside your spirit, you start remembering things like what the Most High said you're supposed to do when your family's going through a storm, when your job is being tested, when your children are cutting up. All of that's covered in this law. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say one more thing so we be quick. I think the reading of the law, like it breaks up in the beginning to decline your ear, just letting the law, especially if you just listen to some things getting read to you. You can go to bed at night sometimes with the word being read to you while you're sleeping. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's very important, too. But the one thing I want to get onto is the daily sacrifices. We in Israel sin all the time. We always had to make an atonement for our sin. And to really get a good picture of Yeshaya, the ones that we know in Christianity, the ones that speak in English, they call him Jesus. And even as a child, when he went there for a daily sacrifice, he never had to make that atonement as the other ones did, all the way up to the adulthood men. He never had to go up there and say, hey, this is my sin offering today. From the time he was young to the time he got to be a man, because he lived in the law and did no sin. And nowadays, we teach so vehemently that, you know, there is no more sacrifices. That part is done away with. But you're supposed to present yourself as a daily sacrifice. And I know it's hard for brothers and or sisters. Like, some of the times I look at it, like my wife, and I know I told my brother this, she took her mom one time on a Sabbath day to go see a Tyler Perry show up in Oaktown. But again, that's part of my sacrifice. You know, probably would have been a good time, this, that, and the other. But I know that day is reserved for the Father and for me to keep the commandments. I know that my wife, like our brother, when we first got in this, she's got to come on board with this because I was teaching them lies and different things in Christianity. And things that she's got to learn and she's got to see, she's got to understand that those things are not from the Father. We don't have the same ways with the heathens. The heathens want to bust on the show on any day of the week. We got to learn to refrain from those things. You know, I could give you a whole backdrop of reason why she did some things our mother, but the most important thing is you need to be an example of Israel to only your household, to the other ones to see you in the world. You need to be a sacrifice of an offering to the Father. You need to make an atonement for these things. So when you do not keep the Father's word, if you do not keep his laws and his statutes, again, there's a punishment for that. There is a way for you to be separated from the Father. So you do those things. And I know in your mind and your heart, sometimes it's hard because you're thinking, hey, I'm separating myself from the family. No, you actually bring yourself closer to your family because you're getting closer to the Most High. And he'll be the one to make the heat increase. Because if they see you're so quick to, okay, he say he does this, but he's going to jump off board when I bat my eyes and smile, then you know that you're not really living up to the Most High, the standards that he set forth for you. So there is a walk here, brothers and sisters. But again, we must be a living sacrifice, as it tells us in Romans 12. So that's very important for us, brothers and sisters. But with that, you know, I'll yield with that so we can keep with the lesson, because the Father's words are the most important things of the day.
Yeah, we're going to get back to the 78th chapter. But what you're saying, which unlike the Christian church teaches, every man is the pastor of his house. And he's got to be the one to lead his family in prayer, lead his family in these scriptures, and lead his family in these commandments and be an example. We may fall short, but even the greatest thing about falling short is being able to tell your family, I fell short, let's pray together, let's come up together. Because that man needs his woman as his backbone, and together the two of them are one. And as they're reflecting their oneship, the children are watching. And so you're bringing the Ruach and you're bringing the Most High into that home. So, yeah, you're saying the right thing. Let's pick up the scripture. At the last part, it said that they should make them known to the children, the commandments. But read verse 6.
Verse 6. That the generation to come,
that be us,
might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
But do what?
But keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not God.
Our awakening right now, brothers and sisters, is that we might repent for the sins of our forefathers, prepare our hearts for the coming and return of Christ, because we're going under the rod and we're going to the wilderness. But we don't want to repeat the past, which is why we go through such a hard captivity, because we understand how we got here, and we want to make sure we don't go back there again. We don't want to repeat their sins, and it's going to get into how they had everything and still sinned against the Most High. Go ahead.
Verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
Even Ephraim turned their back on the Most High. Go ahead.
They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his laws and forgot his works and his wonders.
Hey, sister, can I stop you right there?
Okay.
You know, even when they were talking about nine Ephraim, we can see that nowadays with the, especially you'll see Sunday, we won't keep the covenant with a height. I mean, we'll give no credence to the Sabbath day. And we're going to worship on Sunday. We're going to refuse to walk in his law. We won't give no credence to how important the Sabbath day is for us being Hebrew Israelites, the same way we were talking just a minute ago, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves. One of the most important things of us assembling with each other is the anointing of each other, laying hands on one another, touching one another, making one another actually feel better, and actually knowing how to walk in this law. Because there's a lot of people giving lip service on these commandments that can't hold a job, that can't keep their family together, that don't know the Ruach. If the Ruach sat down there, was whispering in the air, say, "Hey, I'm Ruach." I mean, they don't know what the Spirit is. They're teaching off videos instead of teaching off the goodness of the Father, and they forgot the Father's works. That's the reason why we tell over and over again when we read these scriptures, this is what Ahai has already done for us. This is what Ahai has already done for us. The food that you're eating is already given to you from Ahai. I don't care what mouth they put on it. I don't care what tax they put on it. All the food, all the sunlight, all the water is already given to you from the Father. No matter how much they're putting on it, that they baggage and claim it, it's from the Father. Man don't know how to create food. That's a point blank and period. So we're forgetting the covenant of the Father and we're refusing to walk in his law when every day you wake up, everything you see is created from the Father. Man has not created a tree. He hasn't created a cloud. He didn't create the sun, the moon, the stars. Anything you see is all created from the Father. So why would you not keep his covenant and not keep his words? What do you say, brother?
No, I'm in total agreement with you, brother. Con.
And forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and the field of Zanah. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the clouds, and all the night with the light of a fire, clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness.
So we got people that had all these marvelous things transpiring. And even so, as I was saying in the beginning of the show, we don't stop to see the marvelous hand of the Father and the miracles he does every day, because we're constantly complaining, and we still do these things. And as my brother just said earlier, our people still want to go to Sunday worship. As we know, they're trying to change the Sabbath day to Sunday. The Catholic Church, they gave that edict back in like 1896 and saying that Sunday was the official day of worship. But nonetheless, even with them seeing these things, they broke the law, the commandments, and didn't want to keep them, even in the midst of the faithfulness of the Most High. You go to the New Testament, Acts 13 and 15, you find Paul in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they ask him to come up and speak. And the first thing he began to do when he began to speak, Shaul would say, he reminded them of all these wonderful things that transpired and how the people still sinned. So he's saying, remind our people also of the great exploits of the Most High and remind them of how we got in this predicament. So this generation right here, for such a time as this, we often talk about the book of Enoch, which was written for a remote generation, which is this generation. We must understand the brevity and seriousness of our people being so blind that they don't remember, or they don't see the goodness, or they don't see the grace of the Father. Our whole point in rehearsing these laws is understand the brevity and the seriousness of breaking these laws and how it will keep us in bondage. We don't want to repeat the past. So if you don't have no knowledge of your past, and if we don't preach the foolishness of our forefathers, we'll stay in the same position. And so it's up to us to cry out loud and spare not and show our people their sins. And as I and Sister Tamar were talking, we can't even compromise no more. We were out yesterday and we told people, we got to go home. It's the Sabbath. Brother, I can't talk to you today. It's the Sabbath. This is Shabbat. I'm talking about people in the world, people trying to do business with us. We so quick to hide what we believe, what we stand for, and it's time to take a stand because we got to remember what happened and the seriousness of it. Go ahead, Sister Reed.
Hey, I want to say one more thing, too, Sister. I like the verse our Sister Tamar just read. As they sin yet more against him, provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Here, this is just for our Hebrew brothers and sisters that say they're walking in this faith, going by all these different names.
Yeah.
Now, we can look in Hebrews 3:16.
And calling all these different names at the same time.
We can look in Hebrews 3:16, and he says, don't fall in the wilderness like they did for lack of unbelief. Now, when they were with the Most High, correct me if I'm wrong, in the wilderness for those 40 years, they should have cut them about 10 days. They had to keep wandering because of their sin. But when they were in the wilderness, right, they had a Sabbath day with the Most High, right, brother? He was with them on the Sabbath. Was he telling them to go out and teach all the Gentiles on that day? Was he going out telling them that, hey, don't feed your brothers and sisters. Let's not come here on the Sabbath day, but you go out to the beach, you go out to the park, you go out to this. He had Israel together. Even when you see in Hebrews 3:16 all the way to Hebrews 4:10, they asked you if Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, if he had named another day, wouldn't if he had said so. He reframes it all the way back to what the Father did on that Sabbath day where he was refreshed and renewed on that Sabbath day. These are examples for us. The examples of the Sabbath day is for us to be able to edify the body of the Most High. Now, you can go out. You can go teaching. But that cannot be your main focus from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath. At some point in time, it has to be the edifying of the body of the Most High, because that is one of the commandments. We are supposed to edify each other within our households, inside our homes, as a unit. We're supposed to be able to come together on a Sabbath day so my wife can see another wife walking in this walk. Our children can see another children walking in this walk. As the families come together, then the elders, what the elders' job is to do to make sure we ain't bringing sin in amongst the midst of us worshiping with each other. But we're doing everything else but what the Most High taught us in the wilderness. The reason why Paul did those things, like my brother was saying, when he went out and did their exhortation, and one time the whole city came out, even all the Gentiles. But again, they came out on a Sabbath day. They didn't come out on a Sunday. They came out on a Sabbath day, and again, he told them all the things that happened in the past and what the body needs to do in the future. And out of Paul's, what we'll say, Shaul's mouth, he said, do not forget the feast. Don't forsake those things. So we should not provoke the Most High by walking in disorder and unconduct, unbecoming of the Most High, because he taught us together in the wilderness for 40 years what we need to do on the Sabbath day and how we should be coming to each other. That, again, that was just important to me. All right, Sister Tamar, sorry to interrupt you.
It's a good word because we're constantly, our communities are provoking the Most High because they're not keeping the Sabbath. And a lot of our communities aren't hearing this teaching because these Sunday churches are lying to them, saying that the commandment is done away with, which is why we're seeing all these crimes. And got people marching, talking about no justice, no peace, and Black Lives Matter. Well, your life does matter, but you're going to see it mattering once you keep these commandments. Jeremiah 31 and 23 says, "The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice." Jeremiah 50 and 7 says, "Habitation of justice." Most High is saying that I am your habitation of justice. There won't be any justice until the people come back to the commandments. So 17 is very important because we're still, our communities, our people are still provoking their God, the Most High, because they're being told that they don't have to keep these commandments no more. And so it's just a provocation. And so us doing what we're doing, and then walking out Monday through Friday and not being ashamed of what we know. And see, that's why we come together and encourage each other. And then Monday through Friday, we got to go proclaim this truth to the ones that want to hear it. Now, if they don't want to hear it, shake the dust. Because you know, we already know, two-thirds of Israel will be destroyed. So let me continue, because there's a lot here, because I want to get to the point. We'll go ahead and read.
Verse 18, "And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?"
This is how black folks do today. Go ahead.
"Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also?"
Still tempting the Most High.
"Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food."
Hold on for a second. So I know we're running past a lot of things because, see, our people seek a sign. And these Gentiles, you know, they'll go after knowledge, but our people constantly want a sign. These people were tempting the Most High. Can he do this? Can he do that? Never satisfied. Israel, seed of Jacob, that is alive today, since this is a blueprint we're going through, do you find yourself never being satisfied and it's not enough? Are you in a place of where you're complicit or where you're satisfied, where you can see what you have, you're content with? Because he said, in all things to be content, wherewith what ye have. You've got to learn contentment before you can even be blessed, because the Most High is not going to bless you until you can be grateful for what you do have. These scriptures right here amaze me, because we see the characteristics of Jacob and Israel and how they kept saying, well, let me see you do this. Well, let me see you do that. And even when we bring this word, we're constantly fought and questioned about this word and the validity of the word and the foundation and substratum of the word. Can it do this? Can it support this? Can it do that? Because we've been so pre-programmed to think that we're a certain kind of people, that we can't get this hard shell off of us because we're blinded. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says, "Whom the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them." Understand this. When it says the gods of this world, it means the idolatry, the things that you think you need to have and that are important of this world has blinded you from understanding the truth and wanting to adhere to these commandments. Because you think, I need that Benz, I need that house, I need that prosperity gospel. I need this kind of man, I need this kind of woman. Or if I'm not getting the things that the world says makes me important, I'm not about it. I'm not living. I don't have anything. That's 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in full effect. Whom the gods of this world, those gods are putting idols in your face, and you're seeking after idolatry in the name of, I'm trying to provide for my family. But you're not the one that provides. The Most High is the one that provides.
He goes on to say right here, he said, I commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. And Malachi 3:10 says, won't he open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even receive? But that only comes through the obedience of keeping the commandments. Even verse 24 said he gave them manna, gave them food to eat. There's going to come a time, brothers and sisters, in Jacob's trouble where it's going to be so tough. Scripture tells us it'll be hard. A loaf of bread will be for like $50 or something. It's going to be so tough that your faith is going to have to be in the ability of the Most High and not your ability, because your ability will come to naught. And that's why we go through these commandments, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Most High. And your faith is increased that way. So once again, we're seeing his abilities and we're seeing the results and the reaction of the people. Still, it wasn't enough. It's just something to just question yourself. You know what I'm saying, Brother Ray? I don't know how you feel about that.
No, as I say, a great exhortation. It's one of those things that when you listen to the word, it's something that should be applied in your daily life. And what you say is right on point. You know, it's very good.
Go ahead, Sister Tamar. I'll let you continue reading.
Verse 26, he calls an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his
cross. Wait. I'm sorry. I need to cut her off. But I just wanted to shed some light on something real quick. And he rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them corn of heaven. Does anybody stop and pause when you're reading to say, there's corn in heaven and he brought some down here? Verse 25 said, man did eat angels' food. So he let us borrow some of the food that the angels eat. So wait a minute. Okay, so they got somebody up there harvesting some corn and sent that down. They got food up there that they're eating on. So the reason I bring that out is because there are types and shadows. As things are above, so they are below. The whole thing with Moses and the children of Israel and building the temple down here on earth was to emulate what was transpiring in the heavens. So when we have a Sabbath down here, the Sabbath is taking place in the heavens at the same time. The feast of the Most High that we celebrate down here, the Passover, that Passover is taking place in heaven at the same time, which is why it's so important to respect and reverence these high holy days, and the highest being the Sabbath, because everything that happens above happens below, types and shadows, emulating, and we're trying to be in sync with the heavenly tables and with the Most High. And when you can walk in sync with the Most High and what's happening in heaven, that has got to be a different life. But nobody reads these two verses and realizes, wait a minute, he let the children of Israel borrow some of the food that the angels eat. He let the children of Israel borrow some of the corn from up above. So, and he sent down pheasants from up above. That means there's a party going on upstairs. But we're not going to be able to participate in that at the same time until we're in obedience and compliance. So there's something that we skip over right here. The reason provision is there is because it comes from above. All he has to do is open up the windows of heaven. But that's not going to happen unless we're keeping these commandments. When we are keeping the Sabbath, we are in sync with the angels, with Yeshaya, and with the Most High. So when you break it, you have gotten out of sync with creation. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to say a little bit something too, with the food from manna. I'm about to let it go, but when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out with livestock, they came out with food, but they wandered in that desert for 40 years. They complained about hunger, they complained about these things, and the Most High sent them down manna. He also told them to collect more on the preparation day so they could have some on the Sabbath day so they wouldn't have to work. That shows you again how important that was. For any fool, that tells you that there was only a Sabbath day only for Israel, and they only got it on Mount Sinai. Again, you can go back to Exodus 16 and he told them to pick up more men on that day. He actually told them, how long are you going to keep breaking my law? So you see that in Exodus 16, before that even was sent down into Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. He was already telling them that was the law. Now, what was so important about those Israelites, when they were wandering, they ran out of food, I don't know about their livestock, but at some point, everything they relayed on was from the Father, and that's the reason why he sent them out, some of this manna from heaven. Even though when they left out of Egypt, they had all this food, they had this gold, they had these things that should have sustained them when they went to the next point in time. But because of their disbelief, because of their lack of faith, they had to wander. Their clothes on their body for the 40 years didn't even get old while they wandered in the desert. Their shoes didn't even fall apart. So again, as we look at this, because we're in the land of our captivity right now. Now, I don't know how much to stress it on to our brothers and sisters. Everything that we need in the land of our captivity, our Father keeps providing for us. I mean, even though they keep putting more taxes on us, different laws on us, making sure we jump through hula hoop. If you're a black man, if you're an Israelite in this country, you're going to have to do 4 or 5 times more to work or 4 or 5 times more to look. So they're going to beat you down because you are an Israelite. Some people say because you're a black man, whatever may be the case, they're going to put all sorts of stumbling blocks for you. But the Father, no matter what you're going through in the land of captivity, he's being faithful for you day after day after day to provide for you. So these are the things we're looking back in the past, but these are the things that's actually going through in our future. And if you keep these laws, you'll be able to grow your own food, some of your own herbs in your own house and do these things and still stop giving more money to these heathen corporations that are trying to poison you anyway. But the Father, what he did for Israel was faithful to keep giving them what they need to sustain life and life more abundantly. But yeah, I love the part about the manna. I also love the part, brother, about they had all that cattle they brought out of Egypt with them, but yet they still had a cry out for the Father. And part of that was for their lack of faith. And the reason why we keep bringing this up is because he kept showing them that he was the way, he was their power, and he is their justice. You don't need nothing else if you're Israel. The only thing we need is the Father and his word.
Let me read Psalms 103 before Sister Tamar continues. Psalms 103:17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." Wanting to keep these commandments is a sign of fear. And, you know, wisdom. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. But it says, "Them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all, to those that keep the commandments." Verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominions. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So once again, it's saying, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Keeping these commandments, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the laws will cause us to excel in strength. Everlasting, from mercy to mercy. This stuff that's happening in this world won't even faze us. No fear of what we see on the news and what's happening in this country. In World War III, when it comes, we will be delivered. But I don't get into current events today. Right now, we're talking about the laws and commandments. So let's continue with Psalm 78.
Verse 26. "He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls, like as the son of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts, but while their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fatness of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel."
Hold on. even while, because they were so complaining, he gave them everything they kept lusting after, all their desires. And he slew them down and took care of the chosen men. We got a bunch of folks that are just full of fatness today that we are esteeming high. And the Most High is going to deal with these people that are receiving off the fatness of the people that are not living right and that are desirous and lustful of worldly conveniences. What was that, my brother?
I started laughing because I started thinking about one particular person. He said, the wrath of God, verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, the smoked down the chosen men of Israel.
The
watch
chosen
out, General Gahana.
I'm not saying
that. Watch out, bro.
I'm not saying that. All those that think they're highly esteemed and think that they're the chosen and that they're leaders, you don't select yourself to be a leader. The Most High is going to select his 144,000 for the children of Israel. But he hath given us preachers, pastors, teachers. But know this, if you a teacher, you better be careful, because he said if you a teacher and you teaching in error, you're going to take many stripes when you come into judgment.
Yes.
You're going to be judged even more so. But everybody get two precepts and they want to become a teacher. You don't even know what you're getting yourself into, because if you lead his people astray, you will be judged. So this is this, even handling this word ain't nothing to play with, because when you're handling the word, you're handling Yeshaya. You're handling the HaMashiach, because he said in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word was with God. Christ said, I am the way, truth, and the life. He is this word. When you're handling this, you're handling a piece of heaven. You can't just mishandle this. This has to be a passion. And you have to wait on the Most High before you give this teaching. And you don't speak your words. You speak the words that come from the heavens to give to the people, because this is life. We're trying to save somebody's life. Go ahead.
For all this, they sin still and believe not for his wondrous
after
work.
All this, they still were in sin. After seeing all these things, this is what we're supposed to be getting in our minds. After all this, they still sinned. Go ahead.
Therefore, the days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant.
There's many people that are what is the scripture that says their words? They try to draw near me with their words, but their hearts are far from me.
Hearts far with, yes.
Right. And the other scripture in the New Testament that said many they will. It says that many will stand before him and say, did not we do all these great miracles? Exactly. Where's that verse at?
I'm getting it right now.
Okay, grab that verse real quick. So what we see is even today we see the repetitive spirit of our people, that once we start getting a whooping and beating, y'all remember being a little kid and getting your butt whooped with a belt. We need to bring it back and a switch. Tell me, I ain't going to do it again. No, you knew you was going to do it again. Stealing and taking the candy, sneaking and eating something. We just got that hard-headed nature because the Most High gave us a free will. And it seems like we don't learn until over and over and over and over. That's why we're going through this long process. He's praying and hoping that throughout the generations we'll finally get it and realize that I don't want to go through this no more. We are a hated and despised people, to bring you to the point to say, I don't want to go through this no more. He's going to roll back our captivity, but we're still in captivity. But thanks be to the Most High that Israel is awakening. These bones shall live again. So it's important to understand. I don't know where you left off. That we don't.
I'm going to read what you. I'm going to read what you're talking about real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
First, we hearing from Yeshaya, Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9, and it reads, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
for doctrine and commandments of men. That's some of you who call themselves Hebrews and teaching commandments for money, for prosperity, and creating their own doctrines. How many different doctrines we got going around? There's only one doctrine. That's these laws, these commandments. Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to read last one being from the Old Testament, as we call Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much the people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So the same thing that was said in old, same thing said in the new, our Father's word does not change.
We got to start realizing that you can say what you want, but the Father knows your heart. He can discern the intent of your heart. You know, if you posture yourself to mean what you say, he will bless you in the moment because he already knows that you are going to stand fast by what you said. But many of you repent, say things, don't mean it, and you go on the next day and you're back in the same sin, same idolatry, same vanity, same lust, because he knew you wasn't serious when you said it. So when you fall in love, God, we got to be serious about loving the Most High and wanting to keep these commandments and become a real soldier for the Most High. Go ahead, bro.
And one of the things is so simple. If we look in Colossians chapter 3, when he says that the feast days are a shadow of something good to come. And that's simple because we know all the feast days. If you look at Leviticus 23, all the feast days, the blowing of the trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacle, all these days, we haven't shared those days with the Most High. We haven't shared those days with the High yet. So there are a shadow of good things to come. We practice those things. But you have people, doctrines of men, and he jumps that out in that lesson before you even get to that point, that they teach those days are done away with. How can something that's a shadow of something good to come be done away with? So that's the doctrines and that's the teaching of men. The same way we got Christmas coming up and that spirit is going to come across all these people. That's a doctrine and teaching of men. That's not a teaching from the Most High. He'll tell you straight, don't have the way of the heathen. Don't be chopping down a tree. Don't be erecting in your house with nails. Don't be decorating with silver and gold. That's what the Most High tells you. That's his doctrine. Now you're doing other things where you're not relying on the Father's word.
I will read, because we're going to skip a lot of this, but I want to read Psalm 78 and 40 and 41. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's the scripture I was talking about earlier. They constantly turned their back on God and tempted the Holy One, so that limited him from what he could do. You keep repeating the same cycles, which is insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. You keep falling in sin, you're just limiting the Most High. You keep telling him why he won't answer your prayer and blah, blah, blah. You keep doing the same things. Right there, it shows you that that puts limitations on him. This is what they did. So they limited what he could do. I'll tell you why, because the Most High cannot lie. And when he sets things in order, it's a divine order. And Satan knows this, which is why he's the accuser of the brethren. And we have a public defender in Christ who sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. So it's like a judicial system. That's why this law is important, because the law is what will come before the Most High, and Satan will constantly be making accusations about what you did, and he'll be like, yeah, he did do that, so I guess I can't do this because they're still doing this. But you got Christ making intercessions for you, saying, but I shed my blood, and there is grace. But we continue to abuse the grace. And how long will we abuse grace? Because he will pull back the grace. Because there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, turn them over to their sin for the destruction of their flesh. At least in that way, they might still be saved. What does that mean? You might catch cancer. You might get AIDS. But you're going to be on your deathbed in the hospital with everybody coming to pray for you. And you're going to truly repent. But your life is going to be over. No more life for you. That's just how serious this is, brothers and sisters. So we have to understand that. Let's skip, because it's a pretty long chapter, so we can skip through this, because the next part talks about what he did in Egypt. It's putting us into remembrance about what happened there. It's a book of remembrance of how serious this is. But let's go down to Psalm 78 and 62.
Psalm 78, verse 62. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. The priests...
That's today. We got a lot of sisters that can't even find a husband. We're still in our captivity. We're losing our babies in the street. Young men getting shot down like crazies. So we keep seeing this pattern. It's a constant pattern in Israel. Except for those that pull out of the world and come to the law. Go ahead.
Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them in a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Jesus.
This is prophetic right here in the day of the Lord, in our time, in the awakening of our people as well. You'll see that after a while, because you got in the book of Revelations, you have the 24 elders crying out for the blood of our people in the streets, saying, how long, Lord, will it be before you come back to the earth and avenge us of the things that Satan is putting us through in the death of our people? And not even Christ, remember this, not even Christ knows when he's supposed to return. His Father, the Most High, is going to tap him on the shoulder and say, okay, now. And that's when he'll come back with his 10,000 of angels. Awaken us, and the dead in Christ will rise. And that will be the day of the Lord, which is a dark day. I'll let you continue to read.
Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim.
What? Go ahead.
But chose the tribe of Judah.
Who?
But chose the tribe of Judah.
Judah.
The Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he hath established forever.
Forever. The earth is established forever. Go ahead.
He chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes grew. With young he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them accordingly to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand.
Most High is seeking to guide us by us keeping his commandments. And in that day, when he comes to get us in that dark day, and we see it coming prophetically, this is an exciting time because there's more prophecies being fulfilled on a daily basis than in any other generation. You can either get scared and give in to what the world is doing, or, you know, like there was an old song back in my day, you can get with this, or you can get with that. So it's up to you. You can get with these laws, or you can just party like it's 1999 and start chasing the idolatry and vanity of the world and find this destruction all over you and your family. And even us that are keeping these laws better pray that we're found worthy to be chosen in that hour when he comes for his people. Brother Ray, you got something else to say before we get ready to close out?
No, I think the brothers and sisters of Israel, anytime you get a chance, read the Father's word, let the Ruach wash over you, learn what it is that the Father actually wants from you. Because you can do a lot of teaching on everything that's coming, just like my brother talked about the times that we live in, times of Jacob's trouble, we're in the midst of, are going to get worse. But unless you know what the Father wants from you, what difference does it make? It's just like my children in the household. I can tell them, hey, if you ain't going to do what I tell you to do, I'm going to beat your butt when you get home. But if they don't know I want from them, they just going to keep getting whipped on. So those curses were from generation to generation to generation to generation. Now, the way to break those curses and actually receive the blessings from the Most High is actually start walking his laws, statutes, and commandments. Because what's going to happen to this world? It's going to happen in Alaska. It's going to happen in Canada. It's going to happen to every blade of grass that the Father created to get sin out of this earth. So unless you know his commandments, his laws, and his statutes, unless you know those things, teach them to your children, and your children teach it to their children, they will stay amongst those curses, these abominations that are killing us. But if you learn the ways of the Most High, you can teach those to the ones you love. You break those curses, and then you'll see the blessings going through your family. You'll see those ones find a way to eat clean. You'll see those ones refrain from hanging out on a Friday night and a Saturday night, trying to make it rain and all that stuff, going to the clubs, being around places that's going to bring death. You'll see those young ones gravitating to the word of the Most High versus gravitating to the world of some slick pimp or some two-bit hustler trying to con them out of everything. You'll see the ones not trying to run to all these internet sites that they're trying to, you know, get cash for a dollar. Half these people are nothing but stalkers and predators on these sites, so they're trying to get your children and all these different things. So when you learn how to teach the words of the Most High and actually know what he wants from you, you'll start seeing these curses lifted off you, surely but certainly. And it doesn't mean that you're going to go without sin anymore, brothers and sisters, but learn to know what sin is, how to avoid it, and how to get stronger in the word of the Most High, to let that Ruach be your strength and your guide from now on.
Yeah, we all got to study to show ourselves approved. So with that being said, listen to this. Let me exhort you on our way out. It's not enough to know a few precepts and say I'm Hebrew. That's why you're still getting whipped. In Acts the 8th and 18th chapter, Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles gave the Holy Ghost. People received the Ruach HaKadosh through the laying on of hands. And Simon the sorcerer said, I'll pay you if you give me some of that power. Yeah, there is a power. Let me tell you about it. Mark 16 and 18 said, they shall take up serpents. That means the believers, the disciples. They shall take up serpents. Serpents being representative of many things, deadly things, satanic things. And it won't harm them. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're not seeing any of this in your life, then there's still something that's not completely there, brothers and sisters. Demons are real. Angels are real. Scripture says, be careful because some have entertained angels unaware. That means that fallen angels have the ability to manifest into different images too. Where are the demons that they said would come from these CERN machines and everywhere else? They're living inside of people. They're manifesting themselves, and they're out here to destroy you and come at you. But there is a power through the Ruach HaKadosh, through the covenant, through the commandments, by being a believer and disciple, that would cause you to be an overcomer. For greater is that that's in us than anything in the world. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Who's the us? The commandment keepers, the Sabbath keepers, the believers, those that persevere to not be like the world, but to be separate and to stand with testicular fortitude, with your shoulders out and saying, I'm not compromising. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not with this. For Christ I live. For God I die. You got to be like that for Yeshua HaMashiach. So he's looking for those that are not going to be weak. If you lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. So there is a power. You can't lay hands on the sick, your sick wife, your sick children, and they're supposed to recover. Laying on of hands. There is a power that he's given us. He said greater things that we would do. You're not seeing that because you're letting the world beat you up, and it doesn't have to beat you up once you fall in love with these scriptures and with this word. Listen, I'm Elder V, and this is Sister Tamar with you and Brother Ray, and we're getting ready to sign out. I'm going to just say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwam Yasha'Allah, Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is a evil old man, but him can't choke it on I man. So when I shake him my last in hand, and if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on a iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Oh yeah. Move ya with your gun, Mrs. Phillips, ya with your bomb.